The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter number 5, text number 38, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on September 21st, 2009, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 6, chapter number 5, text number 38. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Evaṃ tvaṃ niranukroṣo
bālānaṃ matibhiddhare
parśadamajye charasi
yashoha nirapatrapa
Evaṃ taṃ niranukroṣo
bālānaṃ matibhiddhare
parśadamajye charasi
yashoha nirapatrapa.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prajapati Daksha continued, thus committing violence against other living entities, and yet claiming to be an associate of Lord Vishnu, you are defaming the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You needlessly created a mentality of renunciation in innocent boys, and therefore you are shameless and devoid of compassion. How could you travel with the personal associates of the Supreme Lord? Purport. This mentality of Prajapati Daksha still continues even today. When young boys join the Krishna consciousness movement, their fathers and so-called guardians are very angry at the propounder of the Krishna consciousness movement because they think that their sons have been unnecessarily induced to deprive themselves of the material enjoyments of eating, drinking, and merry-making. Karmis, fruitive workers, think that one should fully enjoy his present life in this material world and also perform some pious activities to be promoted to higher planetary systems for further enjoyment in the next life. A yogi, however, especially a bhakti yogi, is callous to the opinions of this material world. He is not interested in traveling to the higher planetary systems of the demigods to enjoy a long life in an advanced materialistic civilization. As stated by Prabodhananda Sarasvati, Kayavayam Narakayate Tidashapur Akasha Pushpayate. For the devotee, merging into the Brahman effulgence is hellish, and life in the higher planetary systems of the demigods is a will-o'-the-wisp, a phantasmagoria with no real existence at all. A pure devotee is not interested in yogic perfection, traveling to higher planetary systems, or oneness with Brahman. He is interested only in rendering service to the personality of Godhead. Since Prajapati Daksha was a karmi, he could not appreciate the great service Narada Muni had rendered his 11,000 sons. Instead, he accused Narada Muni of being sinful and charged that because Narada Muni was associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord would also be defamed. Thus, Daksha criticized that Narada Muni was an offender to the Lord, although he was known as an associate of the Lord.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sangrajata Sagana Raghunathan Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha
So, Karmis cannot understand how one could be happy by depriving himself of sense gratification. Because they are completely absorbed in the false bodily concept of life. If I think that I am this body, just slow down a little bit. If I think that I am this body, then my happiness will be based on satisfying this body. I may give this body very much enjoyment. But if it's not me, how can I be satisfied? Just like if I have a bank account. And every time I get a paycheck, I put some money in that bank account. Saving up for my retirement. And then when I retire, I go to take my savings up. And the teller says, and I give them the bank account number. They say, sir, that's not your account. That's somebody else's account. We can't give you the money. That's somebody else's account. But I've been depositing money for my whole life, every paycheck. I've been putting money into that account. Give me my money. But my dear sir, you accidentally put it in somebody else's account. But we can't do anything about it. Well, how much do I have in my account? Nothing. You see? So this is what we are doing. When we engage in sense gratification, we are putting our money into the wrong account. So we end up with nothing in the end, you see. This is why from the very beginning the education must be given. You are not that body. You're not a woman. You're not a man. You're not Estonian. You're not Russian. You're not Finnish. You're an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with God. If one actually understands who they are, then they can invest their energy properly. So they get a big, big, fatty bank account of spiritual assets. How hard we are working for sense gratification. We are working very hard for sense gratification. Every day we are working so hard for sense gratification. Just imagine if that energy could be diverted to self-realization. How advanced we would become. So, this Krishna consciousness movement is an educational institution. To train the people how to put their energy into self-realization. Instead of sense gratification. Of course, we do not deny the basic needs. Eating must be there. Sleeping must be there. Mating is there. Of course, not for the brahmacharis. And defending. But not beyond what is required. Just like salt. If you put the right amount of salt, then in the prasadam is very tasty. If there's not enough salt, no taste. If there's too much salt, horrible taste. But the right amount of salt, that is very nice, you see. So therefore, one should take whatever amount of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is necessary to keep body and soul together. That is your allotted quota. That is your allotted quota given by the Supreme Lord. To that you're entitled. Ishavashamidam sarvam yatkinja jagajam jagat tena chaktena bhunjita magrida kashasvindanam. Everything animate or inanimate, that is within the universe, is controlled and owned by the Lord. And therefore, one should take only those things necessary for oneself.
Каждый должен брать настолько те вещи, которые только ему нужны.
which have been set aside as one's quota. Not accepting other things. Knowing well to whom they belong. That is mantra number one from the Sri Ishopanishad. So whatever your quota, that is your allotted quota. That is all right. But as soon as you go beyond your quota, you're engaged in sin. And you must get reaction. What is that reaction? Bhavarog. Repetition of birth and death. That's the price you pay. You may be enjoying sense gratification now, but you will pay the price. If you take more prasadam than you can easily digest, you may enjoy your tongue for a few minutes. But you will pay the price. You will get sick. Therefore, take what is necessary and not beyond that. If we take more than is required, that is sense gratification. And as long as we remain addicted to sense gratification, we will not be able to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, what is the first principle? Tapasya. One must practice austerity. Do not overindulge the senses. So, in this way, by giving up sense gratification and becoming fully absorbed in bhakti, the devotee becomes fully joyful. Brahmabhutta prasanadma na sochati na kankshati. He becomes free of all hankering and lamenting. He becomes free from all hankering and lamenting. Samaksaraveshu bhuteshu. And he becomes equally disposed towards all living entities. Mad bhaktim labhate padam. And in that state he attains pure devotional service, Krishna says. And this is described in the 18th chapter, text number 54 of the Bhagavad Gita. So if we will take seriously this process, we will enter into that wonderful dimension of unlimited happiness. Doesn't matter where we're living. You're living at home, you can live in the temple. Wherever you are, if you take up this mood of pure bhakti, you will taste the sweetest nectar at every minute. You just have to be determined like that little sparrow. You just have to be determined like that little sparrow. Everyone remembers the little sparrow? He wanted to dry up the ocean, you see? Yes. Can a little sparrow dry up the ocean? No, of course not. It's a ludicrous idea. How a little sparrow could dry up the ocean? So it may seem impossible. How could I possibly achieve pure devotional service? I'm in complete maya. How could I possibly achieve pure devotional service? But just as that little sparrow got the help of Garuda and achieved the drying up of the ocean, if we take help from Guru and Krishna, then we can become pure devotees. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. We can achieve ahaitaki bhakti, completely pure devotion. Simply we have to become humble. As long as you remain proud and puffed up, thinking, I am great, then you are great, all right, but you're a great fool. Don't remain a great fool. Become a humble devotee of the Lord. That is true greatness. Completely submissive to Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas. That is true greatness. Not the so-called I am great devotee. Who maintains their false ego. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah.
Speak loudly.
Yeah. So the question was, your arrival has, with your arrival, I've started experiencing the same things that she started experiencing, started feeling that she doesn't need more food than she actually needs to sustain her body. She doesn't need more sleep than the minimum quota, and all desires have kind of backed off, and the only desire that she had was to serve. And she feels very happy now and very joyful, and she's wondering, will this feeling stay once you leave? And
once I leave? Will this feeling stay once I leave? That what you're asking? Do you think I'm going to leave? How could I ever leave? You devotees have so much bhakti, I am captured by your love.
Просто
I can never leave this Sangha. Now I may appear to be leaving. The body is scheduled to leave this morning. But the spiritual master, he has two forms. He has his physical form and his vibrational form. So if you want me to stay, I will take residence in your heart. And I'll always bless you with Krishna consciousness. Simply your desire, that's all. So in this way, you'll always have Guru Sangha. And you will get strength in your practice of Krishna consciousness. Next question.
By whose mercy did it happen? By your mercy or by her spiritual master's mercy?
It's all by the... Ultimately, the mercy is all Krishna's mercy. The spiritual master, he is simply a delivery man for Krishna's mercy. It's all by the mercy of Krishna. Next question. Yeah.
Next question is: преданные говорят, и старшие преданные говорят, должен взять побольше милость, где возможно. И вот тогда как понять, что ты должен, например, Махапрасада. Ты же должен есть сколько тебе возможностей позволить. Но когда ты еще можешь в своей жизни жить лучше, еще должен копить побольше и побольше. Тогда где это рубеж есть? Если просада тоже милость, это как может быть милости слишком много, и где ты убежишь?
Okay, so the question is, a lot of devotees say that you should get try to get as much mercy as possible. And for example, Mahaprasada is mercy. And where is the line between too much prasada and how can there be too much?
Yes. Prabhupada gave the line, take what you can easily digest. If you're an elephant, you can eat like an elephant. If you're an ant, then you eat like an ant. If you're an ant, you try to eat like an elephant, it'll kill you. And if you're an elephant, you try to eat like an ant, it'll kill you. So you eat according to your natural capacity. Yes. Best soil is Vaishnava Sangha. It's like here, there are so many nice devotees. So you remain here in this Sangha. This is the fertile soil for the Bhakti Lata beach to fructify. Do not leave this Sangha. Spend your whole life in this Sangha. This ISKCON Sangha. You always remain in ISKCON your whole life. Never leave this ISKCON. And then your bhakti latte will grow very nicely. Next question. I guess we can head and get ready to go then. No more questions. What's the final question?
How they remove the subtle?
I understand, but the point is, what's the question precisely?
How do you remove that?
How to get rid of the weeds?
Why do they appear? Why do those really subtle?
Why do they come out? Hare Krishna. Why do those weeds come out? Why does it get harder? Actually, it doesn't have to get harder. If you properly practice this science of Krishna consciousness, it should be getting easier and easier all the time. If you find that it's getting harder, that means you're doing something wrong. You're becoming puffed up. In the beginning, we're very humble and we just accept all the directions we get from the temple authorities and the devotees. We're brand new, we just do whatever we're told. When you're in that simple, humble state of mind, it's easy to practice Krishna consciousness. But if we allow ourselves to get puffed up, thinking, well, now I know something. I've been here for 2 months. You see, I become proud. I am pujari. I am preacher. I am pot washer. You know, I'm thinking I'm great now. Then that pride can make it difficult. If you can always keep in a humble state of mind, thinking yourself lower than the straw in the street, being ready to offer all respect to others. Without expecting any respect for yourself. In such a humble state of mind, you can make very rapid, easy progress in the path. So, what this means is, along with cultivating the bhakti lata, you were cultivating the weed of false pride at the same time. As you are watering the seed of bhakti, you are also watering the seed of false ego. So that seed of false ego, that grows very, weeds grow very quickly in the garden. In fact, anyone who does gardening knows the weeds grow faster than the plants that you want to cultivate. As long as you are careful to pull out those weeds as they manifest, then you will have no problems on your pathway. But if you are careless and neglect to uproot those weeds, you will find that you start to have difficulties in your practice. Simply means you're not taking the time and trouble to uproot the weeds. A neophyte devotee can't recognize the weeds very easily. Therefore, you have a senior devotee here, you said, Nandavardhana Prabhu. Who can show you what the weeds are? So you can know what to pick and what to rip out of your, what to uproot from your heart. So you should very humbly to follow the instructions of Anandavardhana Prabhu. This is for everybody here. By following his enlightened guidance, then you all will make very easy, rapid progress back to home, back to Godhead. But if you become falsely proud, thinking, yes, now I am advanced, you will have difficulty. That's the thing. If you follow the senior devotees, you will have no difficulties. Therefore, don't be puffed up. Any other questions? Yes? Yeah, you're on again. It should be worn like, it's like you wear kantimala. You should always wear humility. You always be wearing the neck beads of humility within your heart. It's the most important thing.
Как вы носите на шее кантималу, так
It's like even you never take off the kantimala, always stays on. You should always keep the kantimala of humility within your heart. You should never abandon humility ever, and it's most important. Without humility, you will not be able to taste the nectar of a holy name. And if you don't taste the nectar of a holy name, how you continue practicing Krishna consciousness? The senses of a young man are screaming at you. The senses, your young man's senses are screaming at you for sense gratification. Therefore, you have to get a higher taste. Otherwise, you will be killed, spiritually killed by your material desires. So therefore, you must be humble. That will enable you to get the higher taste. That will enable you to dive into the ocean of unlimited nectar. Swim in the waves of Krishna Bhakti 24 hours a day. Relishing the sweetest happiness. Experiencing newer and newer realizations every day. Newer and newer tastes. Nava nava rasa. So, any other questions? So everyone, all questions are answered now. Everyone is ready for pure bhakti. To kick out all of this nonsense. Anartas from the heart. Let's simply cultivate pure bhakti. Jai. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.